are listening to Health's Beat podcast series on the use of artificial intelligence in healthcare. I'm your host, Sandy Vance, and whether you are a healthcare leader, a founder, or an investor, I invite you to join me weekly here on The Beat as we explore how AI tools are impacting healthcare. Buckle up, we've got a lot to learn from these industry forerunners who are using AI to change the face of healthcare. Today, we're here with David Frosch, who is with OptumEd. He's been there for about 2.5 years and has been in the medical device field for over a decade. OptumEd is focused around delivering handheld fundus cameras partnered with AI algorithms for the diagnosis of vision-threatening eye diseases. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're going to talk about how AI can be used to augment the abilities and daily responsibilities of physicians in this space. And I would just like to hear more from you about how OptumEd is using AI. So tell us a little bit about OptumEd.
Absolutely. So OptumEd is a handheld fundus camera manufacturer, and we are based in Finland. And we've been doing this for about 20 years. So most people have actually seen our devices over the last 2 decades with someone else's name on it. You know, we've done OEM models for Volk and Topcon and Zeiss and Bosch, you know, very, very large names in the fundus camera space. But a lot of people don't realize that those were OptumEd products. And so we've recently gotten into partnering with artificial intelligence algorithm creators to be able to come up with different platforms in order to screen for different retinal ailments, so to speak. And so the latest one that we've partnered with is AI Health to come up with the Aurora AI. And that is utilized for the diagnosis of diabetic retinopathy utilizing an artificial intelligence algorithm. So it's fully autonomous and it gives a physician the ability to screen someone and get a result on the spot. No wait times. We don't have to send anything out and wait for someone to read it. You know immediately what you're up against.
So is this that you're using AI to sort of to replace a physician having to look at the scans, or how, where does the AI come into play in these cameras?
That's a great question. You know, it's not necessarily that it's replacing someone looking at the scans, but right now, for example, 60% or more of diabetic patients don't make it to an eye exam. That's, you know, self-reported. No, I don't go. And that's kind of the whole backbone of the reason this is necessary, because it's one reason or another that they're not making it to the eye doctor, be it they're not aware of how serious DR can be, that it can rob you of your sight, or they're too far away, or they couldn't get the time off work. There's a thousand reasons that someone might not go. And this helps close that gap.
How?
Well, because it allows a primary care provider or anyone who has access to this camera to take a photo and get a result. And this way, if someone doesn't necessarily need the referral at the moment, they can wait until they get a positive result. To bring it back to your point of, is this replacing people looking at the scans? Absolutely not. Because if it goes positive, then the whole point of that is let's get them to a retina specialist as quickly as possible. And now we know exactly what they need. We can see that they have DR. It is more than mild. Is it at the point where they need injections? Is there a different treatment protocol that we need to look at? But it's not just a, hey, go sit for 2 to 3 hours in a retina specialist's office so that they can take a photo just to send you home. That presents its own sort of basket of problems for a patient and the retina specialist alike.
So this kind of precludes that extra visit to a specialist if it's not necessary.
Correct. And that's kind of the idea. You know, a big part of eye care is that they're overrun with referrals for lots of reasons. And so think about for a moment the impact we can have on a practice as well as the patient's experience if instead of referring 100 patients who are all vying for the 8 new patient appointments that retina specialists may have over the course of a week versus the 4 that need immediate care and maybe 1 or 2 more that were sort of questionable. So it's infinitely more manageable because it's not every patient with diabetes that is getting referred.
So how does this apply to go beyond patients with diabetic retinopathy?
Hopefully we'll get to that point someday. You know, it's a thing that a lot of people don't realize when it comes to, you know, building an algorithm for diagnostic purposes is that it has to have a 510K approval. It's not something where you can just throw up a heat map and say, this looks questionable, and that counts as a diagnosis. This is actually looking for the specific facets of diabetic retinopathy, like, you know, the cotton wool spots, hard exudates, hemorrhaging, microaneurysms. So it's actually taking a look at the fundus photo and finding these specific indications that would lead a physician to sort of diagnose it on their own, right? So we'll have to do that for all of the other indications. So the idea, hopefully, is that one day there's an algorithm for AMD, and there's an algorithm for ocular melanoma, and an algorithm for glaucoma. And then we can get to the point where taking one photo and sending it up to all these different algorithms and being able to tell a patient, you know, hey, you have a completely clean bill of health as far as your vision is concerned, or possibly not. And being able to have a better idea of what the road forward looks like for that patient.
How do you ensure accuracy with AI algorithms? I mean, I know you're saying like they have to be tested, they have to be at least this accurate, but like what are right now, because I know there's not really a standard for clinical algorithms at this point, right? So it's just based on tests, but if they're not standardized, like how's this working right now?
I think the best way to answer it really is to look at the fact that we're not the first one to get a diabetic retinopathy artificial intelligence algorithm approved. So that's step one. And we know that we operate better than some of the ones that have been previously produced. So we're watching that improvement come across. And, you know, there are a few different parameters that they might look at during approval process, like sensitivity and specificity, which is measuring sort of what it's looking at and how good it is at identifying what it's looking at. And then lastly, imageability. And so you really want all of those things to be as close to 100% as possible. So as you're building these algorithms, you can see, is it going to perform better or worse than a physician? And it's not to say that our algorithm is so good that it's going to embarrass doctors. That's not its purpose, but it does live up to the diagnosing standards of physicians. It misses at about the same rate. So it's a very, very stringent approval process, and more so than I think other 510Ks that might be granted. And specifically because they're worried about exactly what you're saying. There might not be a standard right now. So you don't necessarily want to approve everything that comes across. So it's not easy. It's not something that I think every company is going to be able to just say, hey, we want to make diagnostic algorithms and then go after it. Our partners over at AI Health really did a great job at making sure the algorithm was able to identify as many things as possible and be able to, you know, clean up images to the best of their ability as well. So imageability actually came through at 99%. So it's able to read these photos very, very well. And that's how we got the first ever approval on a handheld fundus camera. So this is the first FDA approved artificial intelligence algorithm for DR screening on a handheld fundus camera.
Well, that's amazing. I'll bet the providers are loving the ease of use with that.
Certainly. I think it's brought a lot of really wonderful things to the providers, one of which is being that it's not the most expensive thing in the world. You look at some of the tabletop fundus cameras and they can be very expensive and they can require a great deal of real estate. This doesn't really need either of those. It's small, it's handheld, it's, you know, you can kind of take it with you from room to room. And that being kind of how the primary care world is built, you know, you have someone walk in, they run a few tests on you, and then they move on to the next patient while you wait to speak with your physician. This molds very well into that workflow. And so it doesn't take long for someone to learn how to use this. There's a couple small tips and tricks, but as soon as you know them, you know, you can take very, very high quality photos without, you know, some type of specialized certification in fundus photography.
Amazing. So using AI in devices has sort of been, I guess it's the big use case that we always hear about for artificial intelligence and healthcare is the use of this with devices. How do you think that this fits into the broader landscape of AI-driven healthcare solutions? So we're seeing a lot more right now with data, with generative AI, et cetera, et cetera. What have we learned from using AI and with devices that is going to be transferable, or maybe things that aren't going to be transferable? Like, where do you see this going?
I suppose it depends on how quickly people adjust to the idea that an algorithm can receive FDA clearance and be utilized to diagnose patients and it be trusted. I was at the HIMSS conference, for example, and there was a physician on stage and he was giving a talk about the usage of an artificial intelligence algorithm to diagnose breast cancer patients in stage one. And the numbers were incredible. They were diagnosing around 50 to 60% more patients in stage one than they were doing without it. And so then it becomes, okay, well, it diagnosed it. Let's go confirm. And that's kind of the idea, right? It's not meant to replace physicians. It's meant to augment them. And much like what you're saying with, you know, generative AI, with, you know, the data-driven parts of this, it's not meant to replace all the things that a doctor does. There's going to be no replacing that humanity and the nuance that is needed to diagnose specifically certain rare diseases. You're going to need physicians to be able to continue to piece together the puzzle that a patient's health represents. But if we can put a bunch of different tools in their hands to get them high quality images, high quality scans, and give them sort of an inclination to say, this is what we think it is, that may speed up our ability to find certain ailments before they get so bad that they can't be treated. The whole idea behind this specifically is that we can find diabetic retinopathy earlier on so that we have a higher chance of saving a patient's vision. That's the thought process behind it. So I think as people start to see this and trust it, we'll see more and more of this come out, and it'll take away some of the initial diagnosis sort of responsibility from specialists out there and put it in the hands of primary care providers. But it will keep them from having to run test after test after test, as opposed to bringing someone in and utilizing a myriad of machines that can sort of guide you, as opposed to doing it for you.
So you're talking about taking patient pictures of their eyes, sending them into the internet to have them reviewed. Are there ethical concerns with that? Are there privacy concerns with that? Like, what are the implications of using this type of sort of image, you know, sharing the image broadly for that type of review?
There are numerous security protocols in place to make sure that we are 100% HIPAA compliant. We are HL7 compliant. We don't have any issues as far as getting through any of the red tape at a medical facility, for example, that would keep them from being able to adopt this technology. We don't transmit specific patient data. It is just a photo of a retina that is then brought back down to the camera as well as our portal to be able to retrieve that result later on if necessary. And so it's not something that we're sending people's, you know, name, age, gender, birth date, and credit card information up to the cloud or anything like that. It's just a photo. And that's one of the beautiful parts of it, is that if, you know, there was ever a data breach, there's
it's
nothing
not
there
identifiable.
For them to steal. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
But then things are deleted in the right time frames. And so we made sure that we met all the cybersecurity necessities that we needed to be able to be used by essentially everyone.
What do you think the most significant trends in AI within healthcare are? And what gets you excited about the future of medicine?
I think the most significant trends, in my opinion, are definitely going to come on the diagnostic front. Because the earlier we can start to identify certain problems, be it in the ophthalmology space, in the oncology space. There's a lot of different areas that I think we can build speed, and we can sort of bypass some of this waiting until a patient has a problem. We're all hoping for the day that you can just step into a physician's office. They run five different machines, and those five machines are running 100 tests on you all at the same time. So whether you're feeling great or not so great, it's running the same tests. And this way we can identify things ahead of the curve. That's kind of the dream as far as AI goes. But in the meantime, I think from a diagnostic standpoint, as well as the generative standpoint, by taking away some of the necessary things that doctors have to do, be it charting or, reading scans, taking the time to do all this, if artificial intelligence can ease that burden, it can free up time that they have to actually have those human moments with their patients. When we think of it, we see charts, and there's names and ages and all these kind of things, and there's a bunch of ICD-10 codes associated with it, and it kind of turns a patient into a number. And I can understand, given the number of patients that some of these physicians see a day, that that's how it feels. So if we can make artificial intelligence sort of make some of the testing faster and make some of the charting faster, they can actually spend more time discussing what their patient is actually going through as a human being. And I think that's going to be the biggest benefit we have from this, is freeing up our time to be able to treat patients with a little bit more personal touch.
So OptumMed has been partnering with AI Health, you mentioned this earlier, to infuse this AI technology into your cameras. Can you talk a bit about that partnership?
They've created an amazing algorithm, and we don't necessarily have experience creating AI algorithms for screening DR. But we've led the charge in creating handheld fundus cameras for the last 20 years, so we're quite adept at that. In blending the specific areas of expertise between our two companies, we've successfully had a first-in-class launch. And that's what I think people kind of need to focus on, is if you're looking into this AI space, you don't necessarily need to be great at everything. I think it'll be a very good thing for some of the powerhouses of either our industry or other specialties as well, to partner with other artificial intelligence companies who have experience with machine learning, and they can build something as one, because it's a marriage, right? It's, you can't have a great algorithm with a poor instrument for data collection, and you can't have an absolutely wonderful instrument for data collection with an algorithm who can't tell a macula from an optic disc, for example. They need to know what they're looking at. And so that's, I think, one of the most important things to take away, is that as we start to see this technology come out, I don't often think it's going to come on the heels of one company. We're going to see these partnerships, and we're going to see probably lots of mergers and acquisitions from, big device companies buying small AI companies, and likewise, large AI companies possibly purchasing small device companies. It's completely possible. And eventually we might see them come, from one house, so to speak. But I definitely think it's been beneficial in us having a partner that, for example, has already gotten an approval on a tabletop camera using this same algorithm. They have other algorithms in the future that I'm sure that they're going to be, speaking about when they're able to do so. But yes, without that partnership, we don't necessarily have FDA clearance on this product. So I think it's important to remember where your expertise lies, and don't be afraid of making the partnerships to move forward.
Hands down. I think that it's interesting where technology and healthcare has come in general, and I'm thinking more in the EHR and data space. And like, once upon a time, it was best of breed. You went out, you bought the best lab system possible. You bought the best imaging system possible, whatever, and then tried to put them all together. And then I think 10 years ago-ish, we kind of came into this environment where it's like these mega EHRs started acquiring some of the smaller systems. And it was like, no, we're going to have this one big system and just do everything with it. And I believe that the way HL7 Fire has extended the use of APIs in this space, it has really caused us to be able to have the best in class for each of those things. Again, we're kind of going back to the benefits of the old way, but with so much better technology because of the ease of data sharing and the ease of data movement. And I think that that applies here as well. Like, you have this opportunity to do what you're really good at and partner with the folks that are really, really good at AI algorithms so that you can do something that's just dynamic and can move really, really fast. And I think this is one of the huge benefits of the health conference, is bringing people together to see what their capabilities are. Like, what are they able to do? And how do you work with these various technology startups, or, you know, just finding business partners, I think, is something that health facilitates really well. How do you see OptiMed partnering with other organizations moving forward? Like, who are you guys looking to work with most?
There's definitely going to be a lot of companies that, you know, are on the AI front that we're definitely going to want to partner with. And there's some specific things that we're looking for, but, you know, as I mentioned, ideally, you know, someday we'll be able to, you know, on our current model as well as future models, be able to take one photo and send it out to multiple algorithms. And so that's kind of what we'd be looking for, as well as, you know, I don't think it's out of the question for us to look to partner with, you know, different EMR and EHR systems to be able to, you know, just better integrate. Again, our goal is not to make things more difficult. It's to make the physician's life and their staff's life easier. And so if it makes more sense to, you know, have a specific integration on the Aurora AI platform, I mean, we're definitely happy to do that.
So right now you're selling to, not necessarily independent, but right now you're selling basically directly to primary care practices?
So lots of different, so currently we're selling to a lot of different areas. So we have customers who are federally qualified health centers and have, you know, massive footprints, small private practices selling into hospital systems. We have mobile healthcare units that utilize our cameras. We have home healthcare that is also utilizing our cameras. Because it's handheld, it opens up a lot of avenues for us to be able to, you know, sort of partner with a lot of these physicians. Actually, just this morning, I was having a conversation with someone who wants to take the camera into nursing homes because it is a lot easier for them to bring one camera room to room as opposed to piling all the patients onto a bus and bringing them down to the clinic. And so if you're looking to take mobile scans or just you don't necessarily want to invest in a tabletop unit, but you still want to take, you know, fundus photos in an office, that's completely doable. So we still sell into ophthalmology and optometry. It's just the question is, what is your goal? What is it you're looking to accomplish by utilizing this platform? And we try to find a way to support them.
So how can people that are looking to create efficiencies with this product get in touch with you?
Easiest way is probably from our website, optimed.com/US, and that'll bring you to our US site. If you go to the regular optimed.com, it might bring you to the Finnish site. It's a very difficult language to learn. So, you know, best of luck, but you can click it over to English. But yeah, that's the easiest way to find us. Or you can just hop on Google and hit Aurora AI, when that's AEYE, and that's going to bring you probably to a link to our site, and then give you access to just a bunch of information around the platform, the portal, billing and coding, the whole nine.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, David. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you at Health.
Definitely. We're looking forward to it.